time keeps on slipping, and it'll slip a little bit faster this Sunday evening. Remember to set your clocks forward when you go to bed on Sunday evening, because we're going to lose an hour. We're going to spring forward. That officially happens at 2 a.m. on Sunday. I've got an expert here with all of us to try to figure out how to plan for this. Can we recover from the deprivation? Her name is Dr. Deepa Burman. She is a pediatrician, sleep specialist, also treats adults, and her raison d'etre is to improve the wellness of all of her patients through good sleep health. She is an associate professor of pediatrics and co-director of the Pediatric Sleep Evaluation Center at the University of Pittsburgh. Welcome to the show, Dr. Burman. It's such a pleasure to have you here. I wanted to start with our little folks, with our babies and our toddlers. When their sleep schedules are disturbed, it is so much more challenging for them than it is for us adults to catch up. If parents are listening to the show right now, what's your best advice for these moments where we're either springing forward or falling back and where sleep schedules of our little folks get disrupted?
Thank you so much for having me today. And yes, that's a really, really important question when it comes to our babies as well as toddlers. Whenever their sleep schedules are disrupted, even by a short time, they might have a hard time falling asleep. They might have a hard time with functioning well during the day. We can actually, in toddlers, we see more acting out behaviors, more tantrums from that lost sleep. And what we can do as parents and caregivers is to actually prepare beforehand. One thing about the time change is that the more you anticipate an issue to be happening and the more you prepare, it might help you, especially during that transition week. So few days, even a day or two before the time change actually happens, if you start putting your child to bed even 10, 15 minutes earlier, it might help them adjust to that time change better. Also, waking up them up at the desired time, at a similar time every single day, even though it might feel that they are more tired, they are more groggy, will help them set their cycle a little bit sooner, because that exposes them to bright light in the morning. And giving ourselves patience and cutting ourselves some slack, because that's a stressful time for all of us, including the children, including the parents. And sometimes I feel the children are still able to get those morning nap. However, the parents and caregivers might have a harder time adjusting because they have to take care of their children. Plus, not everyone has the luxury to take a nap.
I wish we all had nap times built in, Dr. Burman. I think it would help us immeasurably. For adults that have challenges sleeping as they approach the springing forward, if that's a challenge for folks, especially with, again, the time change, what is your advice for adults in this particular time where we're, again, moving our clocks forward?
So here I would like to mentioned there might be two scenarios. One, if you are able to prepare ahead, similar to the children, a few days before the time change, trying to move your bedtime up by 15 minutes and your wake time up by 15 minutes. So when you're hit with that hour, it just suddenly doesn't dawn upon you. That's number one. However, we all know that sometimes in practical life scenario, you might not be able to do that, or there might be other things going on in our lives so that we can't move our schedules by 15 minutes. Like today is Friday and our time change is just coming up tomorrow night. In that scenario, waking up, even though you might be really sleepy and tired, waking up at your desired wake-up time and exposing yourself to bright light in the morning will help you set your internal body clock much faster than if you were to let yourself slide by and oversleep on the initial days following the time change.
Folks, we're talking with Dr. Deepa Burman. She's an associate professor of pediatrics at the University of Pittsburgh. She is a sleep expert, tries to promote overall wellness through sleep health. I wanted to talk again about a different group of our young people, our teenagers and those in high school. There is this continuing debate that we hear all the time about the start time for school days. And all of us looking back, I remember those times well, because I was constantly exhausted on top of all of my academic responsibilities. So many kids these days have all sorts of extracurriculars. They tend to want to stay up later to get those things done, something sometimes by necessity, sometimes because that's the way their biological clock is functioning, their sleep clock. What's your view, Dr. Berman, about what is the best start time for school days, especially for those teenage years when our teenagers always seem to be wanting to sleep later?
So here I want to say that no earlier than 8 o'clock in the morning for high school students is the recommended school start time. Several parts of our country have actually gone to that. Time change is especially important in that population, so in our pre-adolescent adolescents, because what happens is naturally their tendency is to go to bed later. There is a natural shift in our circadian clock or our body clocks in that age group where there is a tendency to go to bed later and wake up later. We all know that with the school schedules and the other demands, they might not be able to follow that schedule. Now, when you add an hour of lost time and this daylight saving time to already delayed schedules, that really has a huge impact on our adolescents. There are several studies that show that around the time change, there is an increase in the rates of depression. Even suicide risk in adolescent goes up. Mood changes, irritability. There are issues with learning, memory processing. There was one study that actually showed that the SAT scores became lower in the daylight saving time compared to the standard time.
So you've heard it here from Dr. Deepa Berman, a sleep expert by any measure, saying, listen, we should not be having our high schoolers start their school days before 8 a.m. I think something for all of us as parents to take a look at and to take some special care. Your teenager isn't lazy because they want to sleep in. It's their circadian clock as they reach into adolescence. I wanted to ask you about this concept of morning people and night owls. Is that a real thing? Are some of us just more inclined to feel more productive or more awake in the later parts of the day? And are some of us just bright and bushy-tailed morning people?
Yes, so that is a thing. So here I want to talk about the circadian clock inside our body. Every single cell in our body is actually governed by an internal body clock. Now, all those little clocks are governed by a master clock or the circadian clock that determines when you want to go to bed, when you want to wake up in the morning. It also determines the hormone secretion, the hunger and satiety cycles. So naturally, genetically, some of us are those morning larks, and some of us are those night owls, and some of us are those regular doves, which, you know, are regular schedule people. So yes, that is a thing, and it is genetically determined. However, it is also controlled by the light-dark cycle and the exposure to sunlight and darkness. So exposure to sunlight in the morning and darkness at night.
A follow-up question on this topic. I love it. Morning larks, night owls, and regular doves. I'm going to have to work that one in. I love those metaphors. Dr. Berman, in the United States especially, there seems to be a strain of our culture that rewards and exalts people who say things like, I only get 4 hours of sleep every night and I work 18 hours. That the idea of depriving oneself of sleep somehow connotes greater productivity, or that it is a laudable objective. As a sleep expert, Dr. Berman, what do you say to all of this? Is this a positive strain in our culture? And I have probably a good guess as to what your answer might be, but I wanted to get your expert take.
So, you know, I think you're absolutely right, but I would beg to differ here. It's
Please.
Not just in our culture, but I think it is globally. Yeah. Getting less sleep and working more hours is somehow equated to this bravery medal where, you know, people almost show off that I can only sleep for 4 hours and I feel functional. However, what we tend to oversee is the harmful effects, not in the short run, but sometimes in the long run. Are those people really healthy? What is the impact of this cut short sleep on their cardiovascular or their heart health? What is the impact on long-term memory, long-term cognition? And what is the impact on dementia from this all this long-term sleep? So that is something to consider. And whenever I'm talking to people, I am always telling them that getting less sleep is actually not something that we should be proud of. In fact, in this day and age, if you are getting enough sleep and still functioning during the day and doing your work well, you should be applauded. So I think to that front, I also like to say that human beings are the only species that deliberately deprive ourselves of sleep, sometimes for no particular reason, and we have to stop doing it.
So on this very idea of sleep deprivation and that humans do this voluntarily, this is a unique thing among species. Do you see any interrelationship between what I'm just going to call, you know, our attachment to our devices and the declining average attention span? So this attention economy where we have all of these inputs coming at us all of the time, there's always something. And frankly, we've made attention a commodity itself. And the fact that it appears that people aren't sleeping as much and they're sleeping more poorly than ever before. Is there a relationship there, Dr. Berman?
There is definitely a relationship between screen time and artificial light exposure. So when we think about light exposure and, you know, light keeping us up later at night, many times we are only thinking about the lights that are coming from handheld devices. However, the artificial lights in our environment also have a role to play. So, you know, the strongest signal, I was talking earlier about the body clock that governs our sleep-wake schedules. The strongest signal for your body to feel awake and alert in the morning is the sunlight or light exposure. Now, in the evening, our body naturally wants to do is decrease that light exposure, because when that light exposure decreases, increases the melatonin, which is a chemical in our body that helps us fall asleep. Now, whenever we are increasing light, either in form of artificial lights or lights in our house, the ambient light, or light from electronic media, television, phones, iPads, tablet, that has a harmful effect on our sleep-wake schedule, and that can keep us up at night and certainly cutting into our sleep time, because, you know, we all have felt that urge to answer that one last message or one last email. And think about adolescents whose whole social networking is through social media, and so the browsing and you know, constantly checking their phones. So here it is important to think about that. And in the evening, not only thinking about turning off those electronics, but also turning off or dimming down the lights in your house. Now, when we think about light exposure via the electronic media, having an electronic plan and a turn off time is really, really important for our children, adolescents, as well as our adults. So 30 to 45 minutes before the target bedtime, if we can turn off their electronics, that would be helpful for their sleep.
You heard it here from Dr. Deepa Berman. 30 to 45 minutes before everybody's got to go to sleep, we got to unplug. It'll help immeasurably. We'll talk more sleep hygiene. I want to know how to deal with jet lag and what to do the night before a really big day. We continue our discussion of sleep health with Dr. Deepa Berman of the University of Pittsburgh Medical School after these brief messages right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.